From Buck's Pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Hour number three begins right now. 251-343-0106. Text me. Let me know what you think or what's on your mind. Coming up in about 30 minutes, Rebecca Watson is going to make time for us coming by the Fairhope Bureau, so please stay tuned for that. But joining us now on the line, because you can never have enough 1819 news on the Jeff Poor Show. But Erica Thomas joins us. A little breaking news here, dealing with the I-10 Mobile River Bridge and Bayway project and the way it's going to go. But Erica, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm happy to join you. Me and April Marie always love just gracing you with our voice presence.
Yeah, well, like I said, we're stress testing the listeners this morning and, you know, bookends here. Hey, let's tell us what you know here. What now is not under any sort of embargo, but there's a toll coming down the pike here.
Yeah, this is pretty much the Mobile River Bridge and Bayway Project 3.0. We have a third plan. This is one of the most anticipated projects in the Southeast. It's one of the largest in the Southeast. And now we're learning it's going to be one of the highest tolls on an interstate in the Southeast. So we are looking at all the details. They were just released. They told us we could hold this information until 11 a.m. So we've now published the entire story on 1819news.com.
So $7.70, the baseline toll here.
Yeah, and as you will remember throughout the years since this project has gone back and forth, we saw in 2019 the proposal was about $6 per trip. And then in 2022, they came back and said, you know, we can actually make this lower. We can try for $2.50. And in some cases, people that are locals will pay less than a dollar per trip. Now that has jumped with the new plan to $7.70 for standard users. That's a significant increase. There are options for people to get that Algo Pass, and so they won't pay as much. I think it'll be around $3 per trip. You can also get a monthly commuter pass, but this is going to be phase one of this project, this large project. And all of the heavy hitters in Washington, the Alabama delegation, Governor Kay Ivey, they're all pointing to the Trump administration for making this kind of get off the ground.
Yeah, there's a lot of federal money, but a lot of things the U.S. Department of Transportation did to kind of ease the regulatory burden to make the federal financing available. But the long story short here, I mean, you thought 2019 was going to be exorbitant. This is, I mean, I think even adjusted for inflation, this is probably in line with that.
Yeah, well, and you'll remember our former colleague, Jim Ziegler, who was state auditor at the time in 2019. He started a Facebook page when they said the toll would be $6, and it went crazy. It spread like wildfire. I think over 42,000 people came online there, and just they were really upset about this. And there's been talks that the existing bridges will be demolished once the toll bridge is up. We're hearing that's not true. We'll see what happens. I mean, there's been all kinds of talks. ALDOT right now is saying they're going to keep those free options. But in 2019, people really weren't happy with $6. So I cannot imagine zero backlash in this. I think there's going to be some things that happen because of this decision. Now, is it worth it? There is a question. Is it worth that increased toll just to give drivers, you know, another option to get across the Mobile Bay? But well, there's also a question, should Alabama rely on tolls for this project?
Right. I mean, this is what they do up north. I mean, and as I explained it to the listeners this morning, I mean, it's not unprecedented in this country that they would toll an interstate highway, but you just don't see a lot of it in the South. You see very little of it in the South, as a matter of fact. But back to the discussion here, there are there are options for locals to ease that burden. But I think the crux of it is they're just looking for ways to kind of build travelers from other states who are coming, passing through, and put the burden on them to pay for the bridge.
That's right. This debate definitely isn't about whether there needs to be a new bridge. We know there does need to be a new bridge. The debate really is who should pay for it. Are they willing to pay for it? And is this financing plan, you know, working with the federal government the way to go? We have to work with the federal government. This is an extremely expensive project. And I will say the phase one is all we're looking at. This is all we know details of right now, which is that toll bridge. And that will be complete, they say, sometime in 2031. So not very long from now, we'll see that toll happen.
Well, I'd be surprised if they're able to meet that deadline, but
I know. I thought the same thing. I thought, oh, that's a mighty tight deadline.
Yeah, my suspicion is there'll be delays. That's a rosy forecast. They dragged their feet so long on this project to do it, we've been talking about this since I was a kid, Erica, about building a new bridge there to kind of supplement or replace even the Wallace Tunnel. So it's getting off the ground, but I think there's going to be some sticker shock here. I can't imagine $7.70 at face value. Now, listen, there, like I said, there's the Algo Pass, and you can buy the monthly pass to ease that burden. It's not something that people are just going to be like, oh, we'll shrug it off, whatever, we'll pay it.
Yeah, I like I said, I just think there's going to be some backlash. I have reached out to Tony Harris with ALDOT. He actually just called me back as we were talking, because I wanted to see if maybe they're anticipating some of that and kind of see what ALDOT's position is on this. They sent out all the information, but as far as how this is going to impact drivers, especially locals, we want to get some more answers on that.
Well, the other thing is, does the toll eventually come off? Do we have any clarity on that? Because once the financing is up, I mean, once they pay off the bridge, one would think, okay, well, we don't, because in some places, like you would go through the Hudson Tunnel or somewhere in New York, I mean, they continue to toll, even though the infrastructure has long been paid off, the financing has long been paid off by the regulatory authorities.
Yeah, and we've seen it happen, too, where they say once it's paid off, you know, the toll will go away. We just don't know yet, but I'll definitely ask when I talk to Tony Harris in just a minute.
Yeah, I think it's, like I said, there's a little bit of there's going to be some sticker shock, but just the baseline toll is $7.70 each way, and that's much higher than what they had 4 years ago when the MPO came forth with this proposal that seemed to be greenlit and everybody was slapping each other.
The back end.
Yeah, you know, this, even if you have a transponder from another state, say Florida or whatever, that you still get hit with this toll. And, you know, I don't know how much you went across the old bridge at the wharf when it was a toll bridge. You had the option of getting the Freedom Pass, but you could also do, you know, toll by plate. And then they would mail you your bill, and they would tack on like a $10 fee or whatever. The devil's going to be in the details here, I'm afraid.
Yeah, and it looks like nothing but time will tell. I mean, we'll just have to wait and see what happens and hope that toll doesn't increase anymore.
Yeah, and I mean, I get the sense from the op-ed at AL.com yesterday, they were trying to like dress this up a little bit and get it, at least give it the veil of Trump's approval, like that's going to win the day. I don't know that that's going to work.
That is something that we see all the time in this news business we're in. You know, we get information that we need, and then it's always kind of decorated in a sense. And you know kind of where they're going with it. And we saw that yesterday with that op-ed. We know exactly what they're doing. But all we care about is, like, we want to know how much this is going to cost us. What are the details? I thought Representative Figures, Shamari Figures, his comment was interesting to me as well. They put him in there in the press release today. You know, he actually commended the Trump administration for cutting some of the red tape. But at the same time, he said there could be more done. And it's all because of the Biden administration that we got this previous $550 million grant from U.S. Department of Transportation. That was the grant that Katie Britt patted herself on the back for. So, I mean, the politics are evident in all of this. They're playing the politics game. They definitely want Trump to get the, you know, the pat on the back as well. But at the end of the day, what matters to people, to actual people that live here, drive here, is how much is this going to cost us? How long is it going to take? What exactly is it going to entail? And the important things that we care about here are that the hurricane evacuation, will this improve that? Will it help serve the Port of Mobile? And I think the answer to that is yes. But at the end of the day, is the payment worth what we're going to get out of it?
Yeah, because the risks they run in 2019, the toll was just so politically unpopular that it forced the local MPOs to pull the project off of their plan. And then once you do that, this is the fail safe, and you know we'll see, you know, Jack Burrell, or I guess now it's Spiro Charagotis or whoever looks at this and it passes muster with them. If they're going to continue to go along with it, or there is a backlash that builds up and says, hey, don't do this, because that's what happened last time.
Yeah, and I see that happening, you know, as we move forward with the project and we see little pieces of the puzzle get moved around. I bet there will be some things that we will face that will have to be addressed at that time. And we're going to be watching what these people do and what they say and the moves that they make. And I think that's an important part of this. I mean, Jack Burrell just a few years ago was so excited that some people could get across that bridge for less than a dollar, and now that's just not the case.
No, it's not going to be the case at all. And, I mean, it's higher than 2019, just at a baseline. So if you're just driving through from Texas to Florida, you're taking your kids to Disney World and you're not really paying attention, I mean, you're going to get stung with that $7.70. I don't know that this is I don't know that this is going to be done. I feel like there's going to be some pushback. Have we changed? Are we just at a point now where let's just get something done and deal with it later? Or, you know, the other part of this, KIV's doing this on our way out. Does this hold when the Tuberville administration takes over?
Yeah. I mean, if it doesn't go over well, you know, Ivy doesn't have a stake in the game. So, we'll see how the new governor will respond, and hopefully the new LDOT director.
Well, Erica, thanks for hopping on this morning. We do appreciate it. Folks will find you online. Where can they look?
Well, you can go to 1819news.com, of course, and see my stories and all the stories from our wonderful reporters. You can contact us, news@1819news.com. Be sure to subscribe to our newsletter. You'll get our top stories every day, and you can become a member to support us. Thank you so much, Jeff.
Erica Thomas, 1819 News, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
Spanish Fort into Mobile, my hometown. Mr. T.
Sitting here at the Floribama, about to open up a big old can. Good time, unwind, falling out of love in the same night. Can't say I got a whole lot of cares. I'm in the redneck Riviera. It's getting crazy. Getting hammered, sitting right here at the Floribama.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poore Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for sticking around on this Thursday morning. 251-343-0106. Text us. We got a ton of text here regarding the solar farms and data centers. I listened to Jim Ziegler this week talk about the subject. I would never vote for him. He has no idea what he's talking about. He wants to be on the PSC board. Tim says, Jeff, just cover your tag. I don't think we could get away with that. Also says, I've been getting a lot of political surveys lately. I answered two of them, not doing more. I guess they keep sending them till you give the answers they want. And they ask the same question three different ways. Ultra Runner, I have made arguments over the last year about Republicans will win the midterms. One of the arguments was that the far left primary voters will pick unpalatable candidates. Platter being a good example, doesn't this problem play out in different permutations across the nation? I think so, but some places, the only people who are going to be motivated to vote are the rabid lefties with the Trump derangement syndrome. I mean, there's that's no small feat in there. Anderson, what does AI have to say about the current bridge plans over Mobile Bay? I don't really care what AI has to say. Gene, it took 10 years and two companies to build Africa Town Bridge. The first company went bankrupt. Man, that took a long time. You're right about that, Gene. Jason, you think Jim Ziegler will renew his no tolls fighter? Will his new position temper that anyway? We'll see. Mike, I definitely prefer Erica. She's a great reporter. Typically, his story is applicable to Alabama. We've all had our fill of April. I'm sorry you feel that way. And then finally, Ben writes, I just looked up the definition of highway robbery on Wikipedia. There was a photo of the new Mobile River Bridge. So that's the story here. $7.70 each way. Now, listen, to be fair, you could get the Algo Pass. You could get a monthly a pass to go back and forth that will ease that burden significantly. So you got to play by the rules. You got to get the transponder, which shouldn't be hard. I think you probably get it by mail or at the welcome center or whatever. But that's it. They are proceeding forward here, and it just so happens to be on Governor Ivey's way out the door. 2031 is the expectation. So here we are on July 9th, 2026. So 5 years from now, I would be surprised if they met that deadline. That's their way of thinking. Guys, here's the question. How much would this toll be if we had to build a $1 billion highway through the middle of nowhere, West Alabama? Ever ask yourself that question? No federal matching, all state money. And they had to build the Thomasville to Moundville expressway. What might that have done here on this? Did Governor Ivey's obligated Rebuild Alabama funds for the next 20 years to build this road. And you've never seen construction like this before. The rush here to get this built before she leaves office next year. They are moving heaven and earth. And you know, to do that, it's not that comes at an added expense, because all the overtime, finding people to come and work. You think you're going to find people just on the side of the road to come work in Linden, Alabama, to build a four-lane bypass around a hole in the road in Marengo County? What would the world have been like if we hadn't gone in that direction? Did they undersell the Rebuild Alabama Act, or oversell it, I guess? But the baseline toll, $7.70 per trip. $6 in 2019, and they came out with pitchforks and torches. I don't know, maybe this is just going to take some time to settle in, and we'll see where this goes. But I'm curious. I think this will build up some momentum. I don't know. Will Jim Ziegler get involved? You're right. Somebody asked that on the text line. If, given that he is now going to be on the PSC, if he will temper his activism on this topic. But, it'll just take some time for people to hear about it. But maybe they're trying to kind of get in front of this the best they can in the Ivey administration and at ALDOT. Let's get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Inside my head, before I reached 30, I'd be dead. But somehow on and on.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Thursday morning. What's left of this Thursday morning? 251 343 0195. 206. You want to be in touch with the program, all you got to do is text me, and we'll do our best to respond to whatever it is that might be on your mind. So they'll come on to, well, joining us now on the program, I should say. I got to know her over the years. So my neighbor practically here in Fairhope, but she runs the Fairhope Faith Collective. You may have known her from her Moms for Liberty days, but Rebecca Watson is with us here at the Fairhope Bureau. Rebecca, good morning. How are you?
How are you?
Doing well. Thanks for making time for us. We appreciate it. Let's get into it here. Well, first off, just for the sake of our listeners, talk about the Fairhope Faith Collective and kind of what it is, what its mission is.
Basically, what I do is just pay attention to are mostly what things in our community that affect our kids throughout Baldwin County. And that's pretty much my main focus, whether it has to do with public library, public schools, really anything. Drag shows down at the Civic Center. I mean, you name it. If it affects our kids, I care about it.
Your neighbor J.D. Crow there too.
Yes, he's just a few streets away. He's sandwiched in between you and I.
Yeah, and he's very friendly until he knows who you are, and then.
Yeah, I don't think he knows where I live. Maybe he does.
Well, we saw some artwork.
That's true. You're right. He does know where I live.
Yeah, some of his scribblings in the chronicled on AL.com. So, I've been paying a whole lot of attention. I'm going to defer to you on a lot of this, but Baldwin County is getting, there's an opening for the county school superintendent, and there's a lot of discussion about how that's going to go. Walk us through what we need to know here in that search.
Sure. So Baldwin County is the third largest public school system or district in Alabama. So there's about 31,000 students across more than 40 schools. We've got, you know, a total budget of about $723 million. There's projected revenue of about $555 million, and we have about $724 million of total expenditures. There's also a lot of capital projects going on, about $180 million in that. And that basically would include like ongoing construction, facility improvements, and funding sources are about 51% of that funding comes from Baldwin County local. And then you've got 42% is state and about 7% is federal. So locally, we should all be very invested in this superintendent search, in my opinion. But we have about, you know, almost 4,000 teachers. And it's like we have to really, I think, between the almost 31,000 students and the 4,000, it's not just teachers, but I guess employees of the Baldwin County Schools. It's one of the largest employers in our county as well. So really the functionality of our school system doesn't just affect our kids. It affects the entire county based on the fact that it's one of the largest employers. So I'm really paying attention to these applicants. There were 13 applicants. Two are the finalists. We have the interim superintendent, Mr. Marty McRae, who was an assistant superintendent. And we have a guy from Mississippi, Dr. Tony McGee. And so, you know, this is like, it's a big deal because we have got so much going on. I mean, our average operating costs per month are about $32 to $35 million. So I think, you know, we definitely need a qualified candidate that can really invest their time, but not have to spend so much time ramping up. So of course, education's a big deal.
Well, my perception of it, the changing county, and there's a lot of fires to put out with the Baldwin County schools because it's growing so much. You're having to build new schools, hire new teachers. Mm-hmm. And that's proved difficult in this time right now. There's a demand, there's a premium on that, on quality, and just the changing education needs. You look at places like Somerdale where ESL is, I mean, like this isn't, this isn't just the third biggest school system, and you compare it to Mobile County or the other, or whatever the other, Jefferson County, I guess.
Yeah, those are the two. Mobile County is the highest.
Because those are kind of stagnant with their needs. Mm-hmm. They are always can be underwhelming in their own ways, but that the fixing or addressing the issues in Baldwin County are completely different from the other two.
Mm-hmm. And if anyone wants to look at the evidence of what I'm about to say, go ahead and go on my Fairhope Faith Collective Facebook page and you can look at it. But, you know, we have some unique issues going on in Baldwin County. We have a cheating scandal at Spanish Fort High School that a teacher's already been, her teaching certificate's been revoked, and the principal is under investigation and her teaching certificate is kind of in a freeze position, and they just renewed her contract for 3 years. You know, we have an audit that just came out that I know you guys have reported on, where they had been, you know, the audit was from October to September. So right. October 2024, September 2025. And they had findings that there was a political consultant that was paid well beyond the contract amount that they're allowed to pay. So violating Alabama state law and violating board policy. They've also used funds that were allocated. You know, when you have funding that is allocated for certain funding sources and you take that money and you use it to pay for something else, they got dinged on for doing that. So we need a superintendent that can come in. I believe we need a forensic audit. Because there's another issue, too, where, and I've done FOIA requests and asked for, you know, appraisals. So we have land that is purchased with cash by our board.
Right.
And they are mandatory to get appraisals. And they haven't done any. They haven't gotten any appraisals. And I've gotten confirmation from the school board attorney of that. So we need someone who's a good steward of our taxpaying dollars, considering that 51% of that money is coming from us.
And aside, I mean, my fear was always whenever they bring in somebody, you don't want the cookie cutter educrat that's got all the crazy, like, I don't want to say woke ideals, but pro big government. Government is a solution to everything. That Baldwin County, the politics here are what they are. We're a Republican county. We're a conservative county. And we've got to look at it from that standpoint, that we don't want like a teacher union toady type in here, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And so vetting those people and making sure that it's something that's at least in line with the cultural values of the community.
Absolutely. And, you know, we'll be able to really tell. So they have to do these interviews in public. So July 14th, 4:00 in Locksley, they will be doing the interviews in public. So we'll be able to get a really good sense. Hopefully the board is prepared to ask some really difficult questions, and so that they can draw out these personalities so that we can see, you know, who they are. I mean, Marty McRae is well known. He's worked for Baldwin County Schools for quite a while. And of course, Dr. Tony McGee, you know, we don't really know him, right?
Right.
But as far as if you look at the resumes, which, by the way, if you go on my Fairhope Faith Collective page, you can see I posted the resumes and also just side by side comparisons, all different kinds.
What does a school superintendent in Baldwin County make these days?
Well, Eddie Tyler made $320,000 a year.
Do we expect that to be comparable to this new hire?
I don't know. I would assume,
because it's a big job. I mean,
a big job.
Right.
It really is. It's a huge responsibility. And, you know, we need somebody with experience. So if you look at on paper and you look at the comparisons, Dr. Tony McGee he's the most qualified for the job. Now, you also have to look at who's going to be a good fit too, right? Like what you were saying. So these interviews are very important. And so they will interview on a Monday, and then on a Thursday, they hold the board meeting. And then they will take a public vote, and it's the Thursday after the 14th. So
yeah, I'm sure they
it'll all be done in public.
They've game planned a lot of this out, and they've examined all of this, and I'm sure this will come up. The thing I hear when it comes to Baldwin County schools, are we in a place where we're going to start seeing more of what happened in Gulf Shores and Orange Beach, where the municipalities start breaking away from the county? I mean, is that something that needs to be part of this discussion?
I mean, I think if we have a strong superintendent and our schools headed in the correct, in the right direction, and our teachers and our kids are taken care of, then I would say no. But, if it doesn't go that way, then I would say we probably should be looking at that, because, there's a lot of money there. And if it's not taken care of and our tax dollars aren't properly spent and our teachers and our kids aren't thriving and we've got issues that are being swept under the rug, I can't imagine that Fairhope wants to stay in that, or Daphne, right, or really anyone else. They don't want to be part of it. So,
and they have their own tax base, and they, for better or for worse, could probably pass some kind of, tax referendum if they needed to. But that, to me, just kind of looking at this going forward, the superintendent's going to have to be ready to handle it if that comes up.
That's right. And if they don't make the right choice and things don't go well, it's definitely a possibility. The only thing about having the city schools is that right now, if we broke off and that happened, the school board positions are appointed, not elected.
Right.
And so I don't like that, because we already have a superintendent that's not an elected position. It's appointed by the school board. So if you get the wrong people appointing the Board of Education, and then they get to appoint their pick for the superintendent, the people don't have a voice, and I don't like that.
Should the superintendent be elected?
I actually like that idea. I really do. But I can see, if you have these board members and they've been elected and trusted, then I guess we have to trust the decisions that they make. But would I like to see an elected superintendent? Absolutely. Because if you look at how these board members vote, there's four board members that constantly vote together, no matter what it is. And they are all, step in lock with one another. And so, I don't like the fact that things, the majority can make a decision that affects, this decision is so important. And even if a board member knows it's not the right choice, I mean, if you look at through history, they'll still vote with the four.
Well, it's such a big county. Mm-hmm. And I mean, the I won't say the culture, but the conditions, the economic conditions, I mean, they vary from one end of the county to all the way from Little River to the Floribama to Fort Morgan. And, well, I guess, not the Floribama, because Orange Beach has their own school system now, but you get the idea. It's a very expansive county, and leaving it up to, I guess, where the people in Loxley's representative kind of has a say in the outcome of what happens here in Fairhope. Mm-hmm. Is that necessarily the best approach? Are we just heading down this path? Because that's sort of what it looks like from 10,000 feet to me.
Yeah, and it's always been done this way. And I think people get comfortable, right, and they're also afraid of change and what's going to happen. And then we have, Foley doesn't have as much money as Fairhope. Most of these little towns, they don't have as much money as Fairhope, Daphne, Spanish Fort. And so I think that the people that live there, like Alberta, they're very concerned if, things started breaking off, how would that affect them? And what I love about this county is that we all take care of each other. And that's part of it. But if you have, that saying, it rolls downhill. So if you don't have leadership at the top that is leading and leading with confidence, and we have teachers that are, terrified that they're going to lose their job. And if you think about it, with a city school system, if you have a teacher that, let's say they speak out about something, and this has happened many times, and the administration doesn't like it and they fire the teacher, there's nowhere for that teacher to go. They are completely blacklisted through the whole county. So if we broke off and that happened to a teacher in, Foley, they could potentially interview in Fairhope and not have to go to, you know, we have teachers that drive to Mobile because this has happened to them. Teachers that drive to Pensacola because it's happened to them. So it could, it may be a better deal for the teachers.
Maybe. Well, to be continued. Hey, Rebecca, we got to get out of here and move on. But folks want to find out more about the Fairhope Faith Collective. How could they do so?
Just go on to Facebook, Fairhope Faith Collective. And it'll and the board minutes, or not the minutes, but everything will be on there, where the location of the meetings and all the information you need.
All right, y'all check that out. We got to get a break in here. This is the Jeff Poore Show, 1FM Talk, 106.5.
Just glitter and shine. Taught us that love was the one thing money couldn't buy, that it never was.
Cause you see, I'm a dinosaur. I should have died out a long time before. Have pity on a dinosaur.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us. So what's left of this Thursday? Tomorrow on the program, Todd Stacey with Alabama Daily News, State Senator Chris Elliott, and a guest to be named later, as it will be Friday. Tim writes, Jeff, maybe we could get Eric and April to do like a bikini contest challenge. Hard pass. Motor man, I will drive north on 65 and come back 225 or 59 before I pay that toll. If the free option are backed up like they are now, blank me mall and her Aldot boy toy. Wow, motor man. And then finally, Ultra Runner writes, funny your description of what you don't want in a superintendent. Accurately describes the Mobile County Public Schools superintendent, woke and worthless. Well, there you have it. But it's a different electorate. They have different values. It's not like there's this cookie cutter template out there, Ultra Runner. And that's what the point I was trying to make during that segment. Coming up here shortly, Midday Mobile. Sean, what you got?
Hey, Jeff, it looks like I got $8 tolls, right?
There's no way this is going to happen, right?
Yeah, which way? That the toll goes through at that price, or built without the toll?
They're going to have to try to sell it a little bit better. Don't be clever about it, okay? Stop trying to put Donald Trump in front of it.
That was something. I heard you reading it today. It's like a good for people to realize that, because a lot of times that name gets just used like, yeah, Trump's for whatever, and then we're also for this thing that's kind of like it.
Our George Soros is coming to take over your PSC.
It's not just me saying it. It's Jeff saying it on the Soros thing, because some people you're so left. I'm like, no, I'm just realistic.
It just assumes that we're dumb and, you know, that you could pull a fast one. Don't do that. Be honest about it. Hey, look, we really don't want to do this, but we got to do it this way. Come with your hat in your hand and say, we screwed up. We should have done it 20 years ago. We didn't quite get it together. Here's how we got to do it. Don't try to dress it up with this like political happy talk that they're doing.
And whiteboard the thing, you know, go up there, you know, put it on the board and say, okay. Here's how much it's cost. And like you said before, I remember when the project was $800 million. Okay, I'm that old.
Wouldn't be that old. I mean, you probably have only seen Tennessee beat Alabama one time in your life, if you remember that. Yes. I mean, it hasn't been that long.
But you remember, like, they said, it's $800 million, then it's a billion, then it's 1.5, and then it's two. So what they could do is go out there and say, here's how much money it's going to cost. Here's how much money we got from Infra Grant. Here's what the $250 million Aldot kicked in. Here's this possible money we can get in this new program coming from the federal government. It leaves us with this amount. Now, how are we going to pay it? And just like write it on a board and just talk in normal people language. I'm not going to say that everybody's going to sign on, but it's better than the way it gets thrown out now.
No, and don't do this thing about those people down there just want their free bridge to the beach stuff that you did in 2019 either.
All that stuff's ignorant. It's dishonest and ignorant. It's dishonest at worst, ignorant at best.
No, and it's totally dishonest, and they know what they're doing, and they're playing on people's, you know, kind of naivety about
jealousy.
So let's play to that. The rest of the state will do it, and no one else will care but two counties. Don't do that this time, okay?
Preach.
All right. Well, that's enough of preaching for me today. I will try to do better tomorrow. Sorry, Phyllis. I forgot to say goodbye. This has been the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5. This is where